thankful that our security does not have to depend on absence of trouble and problems or what's going on around us, but I'm thankful that in those places we can turn to the Lord and find what we need. Desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would bless His Word to our hearts. I'm going to ask you to, if you're of a mind to do so, if you have a wallet or a purse, reach in it, and this isn't a gimmick to line the offering box, I promise. But if you pull out and look on a bill that might be in there, you see some words found under the United States of America. What say those words? In God we trust. That's my burden this morning. Well, think about this as written on our bills of currency. It having been adopted as our national motto, and I'm thankful that it is. I'm thankful that it's still inscribed above the speaker's podium and Congress. I'm thankful that it's still written on public buildings, because we need a reminder of our God. When in our public squares He's being so forgotten, we need a reminder. And there have been efforts to try to erase such words from our currency and our buildings, saying that it has no place in our country. The defense has generally been, it hasn't gotten much legal traction at this point, thankfully, to try to remove it, the legal challenges, has generally come down to a couple legal arguments. And one of the two of those, haven't studied it real well, don't understand it altogether, but it's the idea of a ceremonial deism. And the argument says, whenever you have words like "in God we trust," when you use it so commonly and use it on buildings and on bills and all of that, and it just becomes a colloquial saying, or whenever it's used so ceremonially and so frequently, it loses its religious meaning and it becomes just a ceremonial motto. And so the argument goes, from a legal standpoint, that there is no violation of separation of church and state. Well, that's not really the burden that I have this morning, but I pray that the Lord would help us that such words never become just ceremonial to us. The question this morning is, in whom do you trust? Is it just words on a bill? Is it just words that we've said, well, I trust the Lord? In whom do we trust? I'd like to begin this morning in 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and the 9th verse. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah in Mareshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. Now, if you read in this story, Asa, it said, had an army of mighty men that were valiant in war And they numbered, if I have this straight, they numbered over 500,000 men of valor that knew what they were doing, that knew how to engage successfully in warfare. But you notice here Asa was not resorting to their military might. He wasn't resorting to the number of men that he had. He wasn't hoping in their strategy or in their abilities. But he said, Lord, we need you. Lord, we're looking unto you. And it's nothing with thee. Notice it said that he called unto the Lord his God. It's important for God to be our God whenever we go to face our battles in life. The testimonies of other people will and can and should be an encouragement to us. But when it comes time to face my battles, I need God to be my God. I need to be able to call upon Him with confidence and with assurance. Not just in desperation whenever I've tried everything else and all else has failed. Not just when I've lived my life with God on the sidelines and I've gone through life with little thought for Him or a need for Him. And suddenly when I'm in distress at a time like that to say, God, I need you. Not to be like Saul who turned away from God in his own pride and rebellion. And then whenever Samuel's gone and he needs the Lord, he calls upon him in his distress, and then God's not to be heard in the hardness of his heart. But we need to live our lives in such a way, when I call upon God, oh, I'm calling upon my God. And I can say with a confidence, when I come before the Lord in prayer, Lord, it is nothing with thee. Do we come before the Lord with that kind of an assurance and confidence? First of all, do we come before the Lord? Whenever we face difficulties, we've heard if you just take the prayer request this morning, a situation in the workplace, a couple situations in the workplace, a change that's about to happen with the superiors that could affect my job. A situation involving the IRS that greatly impacts the business. Prayer requests for special unspoken requests that we bring that we're burdened about and maybe don't feel at liberty to share. Requests for protection from the Lord. Requests for our nation and for world conditions. There are wars that are happening around the world that the wisest of people in worldly wisdom have tried to figure out how to bring peace to those situations. And here we are, a few little people in Springfield, Ohio, going to lift up our voices and have the audacity to say, Lord, would you bring peace to those regions? Who are we? It's not about who we are. It's about who He is. And when we come before the Lord, folks, does our faith rise within us to say, Lord, I'm bringing all these requests and these burdens before you. Situations that look like maybe there's no way of change. There's no hope of it being turned around. And yet when we come before the Lord, let's not come before Him just in defeat or in a last resort. But let's come before the Lord. David said, early will I seek thee. Early in the morning, early in the battle, I'm going to seek the Lord before I ever face the enemy. Asa didn't first start in to send his greatest warriors into the battle. And then whenever the battle turned against him, then he called out upon the Lord. Before they ever clashed swords, before the first arrow was ever shot, Lord, we need you. And you know, I believe it's the way that many a victory can be won. Before the battle ever starts, Lord, when I awaken this day, Lord, I need you. Lord, before I go out of this house today, Lord, I need your grace. Lord, I need your strength whenever I realize how needy I am, how dependent I am upon the Lord. Do you need the Lord in your job? You say, well, I've done this job for X number of years. Do we need the Lord? You say, well, I've driven this road 1,000 times before. Do we need the Lord's protection and His mercies? Folks, we can't take a breath without Him. Lord, help us to remember our dependency upon the Lord. So as He came with confidence, Lord, I know it doesn't really matter, Lord, the numbers that we have. Lord, it doesn't really matter how dark the situation looks. Lord, it means nothing to You. It is nothing with Thee to help us. It's not going to tax you. It's not going to stress you out. It's not going to push you beyond your resources to be able to help with this. So no matter how big our problem, bring it to the Lord. No matter how overwhelming it seems, bring it to the Lord. And I want to say also, no matter how small it appears, bring it to the Lord. It's nothing with Thee, Lord. It says, for we rest on Thee. Oh, what a good place to be when we have confidence and this assurance in the Lord. There is a rest that comes with that. To be able to know that, Lord, no matter what I face, no matter who comes against me, no matter the situation, Lord, they got to deal with You. Nothing, the song says, nothing can touch me except it pass through His hand. Do we believe that? Do we live like we believe that? Thou art our God. It said, let not man prevail against Thee. He realized this isn't about me. Lord, this is about, there is a cause that's greater than me. Lord, help us to see the battles for what they are. There's a greater cause here. I'm going to tell you, you lose a battle, there's a greater cause. You give in to the enemy, there's a bigger cause at stake here. Other people are dependent upon you. We need you. There's more than just the effects to myself. Lord, let not your cause be brought to shame. Lord, I'm part of this. I'm part of this battle. I'm part of this cause. Lord, let not the enemy triumph against Thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. And the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar. And the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before His host. And they carried away very much spoil. You know, the Lord wants us to have victory in our lives. The Lord wants us to be able to sing victory song in our battles. The Lord has victory. The song says, victory shall be our watchword. Victory, our chorus and song. For Jesus is marching before us, leading His army along. So in whom this morning do we trust? Well, I want to come back to Asa, but I'd like to turn now to the book of Judges. Judges, the 6th chapter. I pray this morning this will be an encouragement and a challenge to us. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Uh-oh. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Now I want you to bookmark this in your mind for what we're about to read here as we go along. that they were under the oppressive hand of the Midianites for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. That's not where the Lord designed for the children of Israel to make their homes. To be running for your lives and in the dens and the caves. This is your land. I've given this to you. This is your promised land to take and to inhabit and to possess. And they're running and they're hiding and they're under oppression. And it goes back to the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Do you know we are no match against the enemy when the Lord is not on our side? When we're not able to be in the place for the flow of His grace to work in our hearts and lives, so that we're not able to appropriate His grace to the battles that I face, I'm no match. But all the grace and power of God. Well, they were under oppression. So it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. They encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come into Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. It seemed like whatever they put their hands to try to do, the enemy was right there to clean their clock. Right there to clean up after him and strip away any goodness and benefit and increase. You know the enemy will set his sights to try to do that with every one of us. It seemed like when we go along and try to do a little something for the Lord or try to make some forward progress, the enemy's going to be right there to try to take it back. They came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. You get the picture here? When it says, as grasshoppers for number, the picture is, to my mind's eye, as a, what do you call it, a flock of grasshoppers that darken the sky for multitude and descend, and you can imagine hearing the sound of their wings even as they're coming. Destroy everything in its path. So great were they for number. It was an overwhelming number of people. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Well, it's about time. They had been laid bare. They had been impoverished. You know, we can find ourselves in places where we have been spiritually stripped and impoverished and taken advantage of by the enemy of our souls. To the point that I look at it and I say, I'm not able to go to battle. I don't even have the wherewithal to go. I don't even feel like fighting. I don't have the strength to be able to stand against all of this. But they cried unto the Lord. And that is always the right answer. They cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel and said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Notice the order of operations here. Whenever they got into trouble and they cried out to the Lord, Lord help us. The Lord heard their cry. And the Lord came and He first had to address the sin that was among them. Before He could come in and bless and give victory, He had to first come in and say, there's something here that's got to be rooted out. I want to be able to deliver you. I want to be able to give you victory in your life. But I can't because of what is in your heart and what is in the camp of the saints. You got to deal with that first. You got to deal with your disobedience. You got to deal with your rebellion. You got to deal with what you've brought into your lives before I can come and bless you. The Lord. Well, let's look at the 27th verse. The Lord came through an angel, visited with Gideon. Gideon didn't realize it was an angel. The angel showed himself to be such. He placed an offering. The angel caused there to be fire that leapt forth and consumed it. And Gideon realized that it was an angel from the Lord. The 27th verse, Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord said unto him. So it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Well, I'm sorry. The instruction that was given him, the 25th verse, says, throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. He's dealing with the thing that they had disobeyed the Lord in, the thing that was hindering the Lord from working on their behalf. And it says that Gideon, he heard that and he took action upon it. He said he was afraid of his father's house. So he went by night. But he went and he cast down the idol of Baal and he cut down the groves in which they worshipped this false god Baal instead of the Lord God. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, and behold, the altar of Baal was cast down and the grove was cut down that was by it. The second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said, who hath done this thing? They learned it was Gideon. Gideon meant business. Lord, we need help. And he was willing to obey and to deal with the thing in the camp that prevented the Lord's blessing. It says in the 34th verse that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet. Oh, when we're willing to address those places in our lives that the Lord puts his finger on. Folks, I've seen people come to places in their lives that they found themselves in a place they never thought they'd be. They found themselves overtaken in a fault. They found themselves failing of the grace of God. I think of Peter in the Bible, never thought he'd be in such a place. And the Lord used that to bring to them a realization, you know what, I haven't been doing business with God. You know what, there are places down inside that I have not taken care of. There are some things about myself that I have not seen, that I have not addressed. And the Lord in his mercy allows me to see that, to address, not to crush me, not to bring me to despair, but to show me, Lord, I want to bless you. I want to bless your life. I want to bring victory to you, but you're going to have to deal with this thing. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Well, Gideon felt so inadequate. Lord, how are you going to bring victory through me? I am the least of my tribe. Oh, the Lord, remember what we read from Asa? It's nothing with the Lord. By few or by many. It doesn't matter how inadequate you feel. Really, the more inadequate you feel, probably the better for the Lord to be able to work. The 7th chapter now. Won't read all of this account, but I want to remind us of the victory that the Lord gave. The Lord said unto Gideon, the 2nd verse, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Now, does that make any sense to our natural way of thinking? Remember, it said that they were oppressed because of the Midianites, that they didn't have much to be able to fight with or to be able to do because they had been oppressed. They were impoverished because of the Midianites. And here the Lord comes along now and says, the Spirit of the Lord comes on Gideon, and he tells Gideon, you've got too many people. That's the last thing I expected to hear. But he said, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. I don't want there to be any doubt here through whom the victory came right here. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it wasn't because of you. It wasn't because of how great you are. So he went from 32,000 men and he whittled it down until there were 300 men left. You talk about feeling overwhelmed. 300 men left. And the enemy, remember, as grasshoppers. Well, it says that the men took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent the rest of Israel, every man into his tent, the ones that were afraid and all. And he retained these 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath them in the valley. And it came to pass the same night, the Lord said, arise, get thee down into the host. But he said, if you're afraid, take someone with you. And he went down and he heard what the Midianites were saying. They were sharing with one another this dream that I had, and the Lord confirmed to Gideon. He was strengthening his faith. He was bringing him to a place to be able to know that God is a God of His Word, that He could be trusted. You know, the Lord wants to bring us in our lives through places that we learn to trust the Lord, that we learn to put all in His hands, that we learn not to trust in our own abilities and our own ways, but that our dependence is fully upon God. It says, well, let's pick up here in the 17th verse. Gideon went back to the camp and he said, look on me and do likewise. Behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 300 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now in which hand did they hold a weapon? In one hand a pitcher and in one hand a trumpet. Neither one of those very suitable for war, unless the Lord says so. The Lord wanted to be able to show unto them, I need your trust, I need your obedience, and I can fight the battle for you. So they went, and the Lord devised it, and He gave a great victory into their hands because they were willing through few to trust in the Lord, to trust in God to give the victory. And the Lord's the one that fought the battle. It's foolish the way they approach that battle in man's thinking. But through the foolishness of man, God is able to work. When I am weak, Paul said, then am I strong. Oh Lord, help us to realize our weakness, not to despair and become discouraged, but in order that we should look unto the Lord our God and put our dependence and our hope in Him. And many more are the numbers of the camp of the Syrians camped round about Samaria. And the Lord chased that oppressive army away by them hearing a sound. And they became fearful and fled for their lives. Oh, folks, the Lord can work in your situation and in your circumstances in ways that you never imagined or thought as an option. Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter. Deuteronomy 20, starting in verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when you are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. Well, that's easy enough to say, to go and try to pump people up before they go into the battle. But it wasn't a vain hope. He said, don't fear, don't be terrified, don't let your heart melt within you. Because, here's the reason, the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. So when you go and face your battles, even if it seems like it's more than what you're able to handle, if you look into the future and the future seems too overwhelming to face, don't let your heart fear, because the Lord is the one that goes before you. The Lord is the one that faces giant future. He gives us today. Be ye not terrified because of them. I want to look at 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, and see if we can abbreviate some of this for time's sake. 2 Chronicles 20. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them others besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea. Oh, there's a great multitude coming, Jehoshaphat. Oh, king, listen to me. There's a great multitude coming. There's a mighty army that's coming. Well, what wise king wouldn't want to hear a message like that? Well, I don't want to hear that message. But if that's true, I want to hear the message. I want to know that an army is coming against me. I want to be able to take action to prepare for this. And Jehoshaphat feared. Well, if we're really honest, who of us wouldn't? You know, it's natural to feel, when we face some of the things in life that we face, to feel a feeling of fear. Lord, I don't know what to do with this. Lord, I don't know how this is going to turn out. You know, this gets down really close and personal in each one of our lives. What places are there in your life that cause you to fear? You know, the Lord's been reminding me of some places and situations and in dealing with situations that I need to remember. Lord, it's not me that's going to make this work out anyway. Lord, it's not me that's going to take care of them anyway. Lord, it's not me that's going to be able to make this situation turn out right. Give it to the Lord. Jehoshaphat feared. That's not the problem. The question is, what do you do with the fear? And Jehoshaphat took his fear and he set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together and they began seeking the Lord together. Lord, we need your help. He said, Oh, Lord God of our fathers, aren't you the God in heaven? You know, even the way we pray, when we come before the Lord, it said, come before the Lord with thanksgiving. You know, there's a reason for that. It is good for us to remember who God is. It is good for us when we come before the Lord. Lord, I thank you that you did this. And I thank you. And I'm going to tell you, I've won battles on my knees. Before I even brought the need before the Lord. When I come before the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for how you dealt with me here. Thank you for how you worked this out. Lord, thank you for how you met me here. Thank you. And something began happening within me. And my hope and my faith began to rise. And the Lord gave victory. Sing of defeat, no, never. Sing victory with all thy might. Lord, aren't you the God of heaven? Don't you rule over all the kingdoms of heaven? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Lord, aren't you our God? Lord, didn't you give us this land and promise it to us? And Lord, you see now how there's an army of the enemy that's come to cast me out of this land. Lord, I know you dealt with me to be saved. I know you dealt with me to be sanctified. Lord, I know you brought me into places of growth in my life. And it seems like it's all about to crumble and pass away. Lord, it seems like I'm just retreating and lose. Lord, I'm going to set myself to seek you. The song says, no ground. Devil, we're not giving up any ground. We've got a cause we're fighting for. I'm not going to take no more. Let's seek the Lord. In God we trust. Not as a motto, but as a lived, can be the motto of our lives, lived out every day. Lord, you see, they've come to cast us out. Lord, he said, we come to you and we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. How many times have you come before the Lord and said, Lord, I need your help. I need you to do this, and I need you to do it by then. And here's how I need you to go about it. You know, that's not what he... Lord, we don't even know what to do. Lord, I'm overwhelmed. I'm helpless. It's out of my control. You know, things that are out of our control are best in God's control. Whenever I can come to the place, as the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways, big or small, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. And you know, the paths that the Lord directs are not paths of defeat. It's a path that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Lord, we don't know what to do. We have no might against this great enemy. The enemy wants us to take that approach. And from there to say, oh, woe is us, there's no use. The Lord wants us to take that to say, Lord, I've got to give it to you. And the Lord said, you'll not need to fight in this battle. You just set yourselves. Stand still. Don't run. You're going to have to set your heart that you're not going to fear until I've worked the work that I'm going to do. So you just stand still and trust in me. And he said, oh, what beauty in these words. You send the singers before, and you cause them to sing unto the beauty of his holiness. You just set yourself to do the right thing. You worship the Lord. You serve the Lord. Don't become distracted by everything that's going on around you. Don't become distracted by what the enemy's trying to do. You just set yourself to stand still and sing praises to God. Lord, help us to approach the situations in our lives in such a manner as that. Well, time is not my friend this morning. I'd like to close for this morning in 2 Kings, the 18th chapter. Second Kings chapter 18, and want to set just a little bit of this setting. We're now in another situation, another time of the chronicles of the Lord's dealings with his people in the life of Hezekiah. Well, the enemy came up against Hezekiah and Judah. There was a confederacy against Judah and sent a servant up to speak unto Hezekiah and to the people. Thus saith the 19th verse, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria. You know, they had a reputation that preceded them. They had a reputation of many nations that they had defeated already. You ever had the devil come along and say, what makes you think that you're going to be able to keep it? What makes you think that you're going to be able to live for the Lord for the next 20 years, 30 years? Look at this one that failed. Look at this one that fell by the wayside. Look at this one that gave up. And he said, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? The enemy asks that question, but I think it's a fair question. What confidence are you trusting in? You trusting in your own? He said, now if you say we have strength for war, what, are you going to go down to Egypt? They'll be like a broken reed that'll stick through your hand. They're not going to be able to help you against us. And if you say we trust in the Lord our God, you almost hear the mockery and the scorn in this. If you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, isn't it he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah had taken away? No, it's not actually. But you don't understand our God. You don't understand the worship of our God. But you see how he's trying to undermine their confidence in God? Trying to introduce some questions about God and his abilities. And the enemy will try to do that same thing. He said, I tell you what, give me pledges. And he started making some demands. If you send up some men, if you meet, we're setting the conditions here. We've got the upper hand. We are Assyria. You don't stand a chance. So just go ahead and put your hands in the air. Go ahead and send some pledges to send some men up to be my prisoners of war, to be my trophies. And maybe, you know, maybe I'll spare you. Don't negotiate with the devil. Let not Hezekiah. He began to undermine even in the minds of the people the words of their king Hezekiah. He said, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. He's not going to be able to deliver you out of his hand. The enemy will try to start bringing doubts in our minds about other people, about the saints of God, about the Word of God, about God himself, to try to undermine, just trying to set the stage to come and sweep in and take us off our feet. Of course, all spiritually speaking. Oh, but we read here in the I think it's the 14th verse. Hezekiah received the letter. So they wrote a letter unto Hezekiah, the 19th chapter. More threatenings. More of the same. They wrote this letter to Hezekiah, sent it by some messengers, and Hezekiah received it and he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Folks, there's nothing better to do with what the enemy brings your way. And you know, the enemy can come and he can speak elements of truth. You know you don't have any power. Well, it's true. You know you're not equipped to fight against us. That's true. You know that there's many others we've conquered. You know that's true. You know the best thing to do with the doubts and the questions that the enemy brings to our mind is you take those things straight to the Lord. And you spread it before the Lord and say, Lord, here it is. Lord, here's what I'm hearing. Here's what thoughts are going through my mind. Lord, here's what the people are saying. And Hezekiah prayed and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. You notice the same kind of pattern when he comes before the Lord? He didn't even just launch straight into, Lord, help me. Lord, you got to help me here. Lord, thou art God. Lord, you dwell between the cherubims. Lord, I'm remembering who you are as I come before you and spread this letter. Oh, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib. Lord, this letter, it might have been addressed to me, but Lord, it's your letter. He's talking about you and your people. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and they've cast their gods into fire, for they were no gods. Lord, the things they're saying are true. But now, therefore, O Lord God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Folks, again today I ask, in whom do you trust? That should be more than a motto on the dollar bills and the 20s that you spend out of your pocket. But every day, Lord, help this to be a reality in our lives. In God we trust. Whenever we look at the tumult and troubles of 2024, when we look at the changes of society, what's the answer? In God we trust. When I look at other people that fall by the wayside, what's the answer? In God we trust. When I realize that I have failed in my past, and I look back and I see failure and disappointment, and I look at myself and say, Lord, I'm nothing. What's the answer? In God we trust. Lord, bless and encourage each one today. Amen. Pray for me.